Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. It's Wednesday night. It's time to hang out again. I'm excited to be with you guys tonight via Facebook. Really looking forward to getting rid of this message. If you saw the title, the graphic this week, I got preached to earlier this week as well. So while I was going through the notes on this, I stepped on my own toes. Title tonight is "It's Not All About You." And we're going to talk tonight about how the way that we live and our culture that we live in teaches us to be somewhat egocentric. And when we try to talk about what it's like to be a Christian, Christ really shows us that that's not exactly the way to be a good Christian. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Like I said, I'm excited to get rid of this one. Let's pray and get started. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, just for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the sunshine, the breeze today, God. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, God, that our health, our ability to be able to hear and see, God, those things that we forget about some days, God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak, God, to people and deliver a word that I feel like is from you, that you gave me and helped me learn a little bit more about how to be a Christian through, God, and I pray that you just help me to speak it with a clear mind, God, and just to be able to deliver it in a way that makes sense and just help me to stay out of the way. God, I pray that you'd be with our body, God, our church family tonight. I pray that you would just minister to us in whatever needs we have, God, that you would be the one that not only is with us, God, but the one that makes us whole, the one that makes us complete, the one that helps us wherever we're lacking, God, that you don't just hit us here and there and help us in certain areas, God, that you're the one that can absolutely make us complete. And I pray that we would know that and feel that tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, it's not all about you. Not about you, however you want to say it. I'm sure we've heard that. All of us have heard that or even said that to some people in our life. And I know when I was growing up, I heard that a few times from my parents. I know that I've said that a couple of times to my kids and probably some people that I've been in disagreements with throughout my life. And I think it's hard sometimes to accept that what we're going through and the things that we deal with and the things that we need to do as Christians are not all about us. And it's not all about what we want or what we feel like we can do or what we feel like is our job or whatever it is. Sometimes we just let ourselves get in the way of that and we let the flesh get in the way of that and it becomes a problem and it becomes an issue to where we are so focused on ourselves we can't be focused on helping others. And tonight I want to talk to you guys about when we talk about being Christians, the word Christian is talking about the kind of the definition of it is to be Christ-like. And so to be like Christ, we need to look at how Christ lived his life. And as we begin to do that, we're going to look at three different ways that Christ showed us that it wasn't all about him, even when he was living. His life here on earth was a life to minister to those around him, was a life to impact the world around him in a monster, magnificent way. And if we're to be Christ-like, we need to model our lives after that as well. So we're going to jump into it. We're going to talk about three different sections there and three different ways that Jesus did that. And the first one that I want to talk about that shows us that it's not all about us was that Jesus was all about serving people. Jesus was all about being a servant-minded person. He was born to common family. He was born in a manger, in a barn. We understand that. He didn't come from a royal family or anything like that. He came from underneath. And to be a servant, we have to kind of have that mentality of humility to be able to be effective from underneath. And Jesus showed us that throughout his life, but one instance in particular kind of spurred my thoughts about this Sunday night when my dad was talking about there, right before Jesus was to be crucified and taken, he was with his disciples there. And in John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, we'll jump into this for sure and just read these two verses here. It says, "So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and dry them with a towel tied around him." So let's set some context here. Jesus, at this time, by his disciples, was accepted as the Messiah. They believed he was the Christ, the one that was the Son of God, ultimate, tip-top, pinnacle, everything. They believed that was him. And he's sitting around a table, and they're having supper, and at this point in the supper, he stands up, and he takes a towel that was laying there and begins to do the job of, not just the job of a servant, but a job of the lowest servant in the house. The guy that washed the feet was the one who was like the lowest on the totem pole. He wasn't, you know, top servant. He wasn't the foreman servant or anything like that. He was the lowest of the low. And what Jesus did here was to show them that it wasn't about a title. It wasn't about a recognition. It wasn't about what people see when they see us doing the right things. And he did that to show the importance of what it means to be that servant. And he did that to show the importance of what it means to, even though he was the Messiah, he was there to serve. And to be a good leader and to be Christ-like, we need to be willing to serve. Now, I know there's times in my life where I've served and I've done it begrudgingly and I've done it out of obligation and things of that nature. But as Christians, Jesus wanted to do that. Jesus had a heart to serve people. And Jesus had a heart to find the towel and not look for the title. And I think that I've heard my dad say that before, and I've heard probably other preachers say that as well. But a lot of times in our life, we are pushed to do things so people will see us do things. We feel like that if we do a good deed or we do something well, it wasn't a good enough thing until we get a bunch of likes on Facebook or a bunch of shares or a bunch of comments on a social media post. And what happens with that is we begin to do those things just to seek the glory. And we begin to do those things just so people will say, "Whoa, did you see what Logan did? Whoa, did you see what so-and-so did? Did you see what that person did?" And when we do that, we can be doing good things, but out of a wrong heart. And my prayer is, this week, my prayer has been, God, help me to be a servant, but help me to also cultivate the heart of a servant. Help me not just to do the things that a servant does, but to have the heart to find and look for those things just to be helpful, not to be recognized, not to be talked about in a good way, not to be brought up or glorified in any way, but just to do those things to be good, to be nice, out of a kind heart, out of a giving heart. And I think that if we all could focus on that just a little bit more, just to ask God, "Hey, God, help me just cultivate that servant's heart. God, help me to have a passion to help others. Help me have a passion to be the servant, to be the one who does the worst job on site. Help me to be the one who does the hardest job on site so somebody else doesn't have to do that. Let me be that person." And if we all begin to do that, we can see that we can impact the lives around us in a positive way. And that's what we're trying to do. We're really just trying to live our lives like Christ so that we can see change around us and we can see people saved because they see we're different. And if we do those things out of a cheerful heart and we have that servant's heart, we can see that God can use us in those situations to be effective. So number one thing, it's not all about you. Jesus shows us this through serving, through servant-minded actions. And we need to remember that thing. The next part is, this is you're going to be like, no-brainer, Logan. But the next part would be sacrifice. And we know that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. We know that, you know, he went as the lamb that was slain for our sins. We know that he was the ultimate atonement for that. And he gave his life, physically, spiritually, he gave his life for us so that we could know the eternity of heaven. But with us as Christians, I think that it's critical that we also understand it's not all about us. It's not all about what we want to do. It's not all about what excites us the most, or the thing that makes us the most money, or the thing that might be the easiest route to get somewhere. It's not about that. It's about some sacrifice. And it's really hard to do that because we tend to seek the things that make us feel good. We tend to try to do the things that make us feel good. We tend to try to come to church at the time that's easiest for us. We tend to try to do the easiest thing we can so that we can check a box. Well, I feel like to be like Christ and to be a true Christian, we should begin to sacrifice some of those easy times and some of those easy things we do and maybe do something a little bit more difficult or to do something that puts us a little bit further out of our way so that we can make a bigger difference. There are times where I am incredibly excited to be here on Wednesday nights, and there are some days that I'm really tired and I'm just tired and I would rather stay home. But I know that God wants me to be here and to speak this word. There are times, I'm sure, that Roxanne wakes up on Sunday mornings, and maybe she's not, I don't know, Roxanne's pretty special, but she wakes up on Sunday mornings and she'd rather sleep, or she's just tired, or Brother Ron is just tired, and it's difficult to do those things that God has called us to do in those times. The fact that we do that and we show up every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever it is doesn't make us any better than you are. But what I'm trying to get at is there are times in our life where God wants us to sacrifice what's easy so that we can go further and do more for Him. And what happens to me in this, and when I've kind of looked at this introspectively the last few days, what happens to me is that I allow myself to do the easy thing or to find the easiest way to do something, whatever it is. And what that does is that begins to allow me to please the flesh in some way, where I'm just chilling at home, or I'm going to do something else, or I'm spending time with my family that I could be in church and I could be doing some things out of necessity for God, but I choose to do an easier thing. And what that does is that allows that flesh to begin to grow and begin to overgrow. And what happens there is then we have a separation between God and I. And when there's any kind of separation in a relationship, we know that that causes difficulty and sometimes some conflict, and the relationship's not at its best. And one of the scriptures that I want to talk to you about tonight is when Jesus talked to his disciples in Luke. I didn't even write down the chapter on this. We'll look it up and I'll post it later. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" And so what we do with this is we daily begin to take up the cross and follow him. We daily begin to crucify our flesh so that we can keep that out of the way. And we begin to sacrifice our wants and exchange for what God says he needs from us. What he needs from us is obedience. What he needs from us is sacrifice. What he needs from us is to be able to do what he calls us to do on the daily. To be able to do everything that he asks us to do. And to do it, like we said before, with a servant's heart. And to do that with a heart that says, "I'm not doing this so people will look at me. I'm not doing this so people will talk about me well. I'm doing this so I can make God happy." And that's what I want to do, is to make God happy and to be able to get myself out of the way and get my wants and desires out of the way so that I can pursue what God wants me to do. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. I only have the authority to say that because I've been hearing that in my head and in my heart all week long. So I'm not coming at you critical, but I've been hearing it too. So first thing, Jesus shows us that it's not all about us through serving. He also showed it to us through his sacrifice and what it meant to give himself in a way that was the ultimate sacrifice for us. But in our daily lives, we need to remember to sacrifice our flesh, to get ourselves out of the way so that we can be effective for him. The last part that I feel like is critical for the church and is critical for us right now is to have a mindset and to have and desire for solidarity. And what I mean by that is to have a desire to unify those around us. Jesus didn't really come to cause division. He didn't really come to just promote discord. He came to bring people to Him and to bring people to the Father. And through the plan that God set forth to begin to allow us to have an advocate with God in a way where we can approach Him freely through Jesus Christ. And I feel like as Christians, we should begin and really try to do the same thing. We see that a lot of times in our lives, and a lot of times through church and through the way that we live our lives as Christians, or we hear the Word of God through preaching and other ways, that truth can divide people, and truth can cause some division. But truth in love allows people to see that they're wrong and have an avenue for change. And I feel like sometimes we miss the boat in calling people out on doing something wrong, but don't give the opportunity for change. Or to say it in a way that it makes them really mad, and then they're just so turned off that they don't want anything to do with us. And as Christians, I 100% believe we should speak the Word of God. I 100% believe that we should live our lives according to the Word of God. That we should live our lives in a way that looks like Jesus. And if we live our lives in a way that looks like Jesus, there are going to be people who are challenged in what they do. And because we're different than them, they're going to notice that. And how we approach that is going to be critical in their response. And what I mean by that is, if someone sees us being different, we don't do a thing, we don't talk the same way, we're not a part of the same groups or the same social situations, whatever it may be, that causes them to notice that we're different. And if they see that, and then we begin to say, yeah, it's because I'm a Christian, you're not, or have a bad attitude about it, and call them out and just come at them, you know, with just so much hellfire and brimstone, it just makes us mad. If somebody were to come at you and talk to you about how wrong you were and how bad you were doing at life and how bad you were this and just how you weren't doing it right, it's not really going to make you want to fix it. It's just going to make you mad at that person at this point. But when we approach that with a heart of love and with a heart that just says, yep, I'm different, but man, I didn't used to be, or man, I haven't always been this way, but Jesus has given me an option to be different. What He did on the inside of me changed me from the inside out, and it allowed me to be able to deal with this situation or to be a part of this situation and to go through this in a way that is different than you do it, just because I've got more inside of me. I've got something that's bigger than me that lives in my heart now. And to be able to explain that to people in that way allows us to be able to create solidarity. And allows us to be able to create unity and to begin to be a part of the body. And in Romans, I believe it's Romans chapter 4, he's talking about different parts of the same body and how we all are a different part of the same body, but we're a part of the body. We may have hands, we have feet, we have eyes, we have nose, whatever. But we all come together to be a part of the same body. And even though we have a different function, we're part of the same thing. And when we begin to understand that even though we may be a little bit different, even though my talents aren't Roxanne's talents, aren't Brother Ron's talents, aren't Brandon's talents, anybody's talents, they're a little bit different. But because they're a little bit different, I may be able to do something that can help minister to somebody else. And you can do the same thing. Because of what God gave you specifically, you can help minister to another person that maybe I can't. Maybe the experiences that you've been through, the things that God has brought you through, make you able to relate to people in a way that I can't do that. And that's what's awesome, is when we begin to understand that God has us in this situation and God has us in this family for a reason. And we're all in this for a reason. Then we begin to understand that we can bring people together rather than create discord, rather than to just find a way to divide ourselves through minuscule differences in beliefs or things that just anything. I mean, it can be anything that divides us, and it can be just the silliest stuff. And I think sometimes we forget that we're here to unify the body, and we're here to bring the body together and find a way that you can be a part of this body, and to find a way that another person can be a part of this body. We believe the same things, we do the same things, but you may do them a little different, so that makes it better and us more multifaceted so that we can do things easier. One of the scriptures here for talking about solidarity is Paul's talking to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." And when Paul's talking to the church in Corinthians there, he's reminding them that, hey, we're all really here for the same goal. We're all really here to do the same thing. We want to see souls saved, we want to see the kingdom of God grow, and we want to change our environments and our lives of those around us. So let's remember tonight that we're here for the same thing. Ultimately, I feel like we want to see people saved. We want to see the church grow. We want to see lives changed. Even after people are saved, we can still see lives changed. We can still see people healed. We can still see people delivered from addiction or from depression or anxiety or things that just come at us all the time. And that's our goal. But individually, we need to seek out ways that we can help those people and bring them into the church so that we can be of one mind and one spirit and of one thought and one purpose. So, three things tonight. Pretty simple. It's not all about you. It's not all about me either. It's about Jesus. And it's about the way He lived His life. And the way that we need to live our lives, if we call ourselves Christians, is to be like Him. We need to have a mind and a heart to serve people, to find the way, and to have the ambition and the drive within us to be the person who's helpful, to be the one who takes the towel, who doesn't just look for the title, who's not about just seeking out others' approval. We want God's approval, and we want to do things that make God happy. Number one, be the servant. Number two, remember to sacrifice those things that get in the way of us, or get in the way of our relationship with God. And sacrifice some of our own desires or some of our own things that are just wants that get in the way of what God needs us to do. And that is just to reach the people around us. We're called, we're commanded to do that as Christians. We need to remember that sometimes it's not about the easiest way. It's not about what's easiest for us. What's easiest for us doesn't see the lives around us get changed. What's easiest for us may not be what helps our family members get saved or our co-workers get saved or the life of our brother or sister be changed in a miraculous way. Because if we don't take the extra step, if we don't do the difficult thing sometimes, we're not going to see that change. We're not going to be the light that they need us to be. We're not going to be the difference that they need to see in us that shows them how big God is so that they can see it and they can understand, oh, that's what He's talking about when He says this. If we don't live a life that looks like that, what we say is just nothing. They're just words that come out. And the last thing is to remember to have a heart for unity in the church, to be able to create an environment of solidarity, to be able to create a milieu that brings everyone together, that's not about division or discord or anything like that. It's about understanding as a church and as a family and the brothers and sisters we have in Jesus, to be able to see the kingdom go further, to be able to see souls saved, and to do that in a unified fashion. United we stand, divided we fall. When we're united in a cause, we can see that we're able to stand better. That's not a scripture, but it's a very good motto. And we can see that as we begin to see things that are divided around us, it's a lot easier to attack something when people are disagreeing with each other. It's a lot easier to see things split when they start to separate. But if we're united in a cause, we can continue along the path that God has for us. As a church, as a nation, as just Christians in general, as a family, or just as a person, we can see that when we begin to seek unity, God can do monster things in us. We're a whole lot better as a team than we are individuals. And I pray that God helps us to see that tonight. It's difficult to hear that it's not about you. It's difficult to hear somebody calling you out that you feel like is a difficult thing that comes out. But it's true. And it's hard to accept sometimes, but it's not about us. It's not just about us getting saved and staying out of hell and getting to go to heaven. It's about us, after we've been saved, continuing on that course and changing and being the catalyst for change to those lives around us through Jesus and through what He's done for us. So tonight, I hope that this sparked some conviction in you or helped you to understand that there are points in our life. Maybe you're killing it right now. Maybe you're doing all three of those things really, really well. That's awesome. I'm excited to know that there's somebody doing that if you're that person. But if not, maybe you're just struggling in one of those areas. I pray that God convicts you to say, man, yeah, help me change that. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Christ every day. He must increase, I must decrease. Get me out of the way. Have that mindset again. I pray that God starts that change within you so that we can begin to see that in our community and then in our city, in our state, and then across the nation. I believe that we can make enormous changes if we begin to adopt these ideals. And we begin to see that to live like Christ is to not live the way our flesh wants us to live. That's the easiest way to put it. That's the easiest way to understand that. So tonight, I hope wherever you are, I find you comfortable where you're sitting and enjoying this, whether you're driving or something, whatever it is, however you're listening to it. Hope you're not watching while you're driving. Hope you're just listening. I think it's dangerous. But I pray that God allows you to see where you may be lacking in those areas and to begin to change that. As we get ready to pray tonight, you guys pray with me and we'll close. God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for those difficult things that you tell me, that you just drop into my spirit. It was literally Monday morning, and it was like you just told me. Like I read it on a bumper sticker. It was so obvious that you just said, hey, it's not about you. It's not all about you. It's not about what you want to do. It's not about the avenue you wanted to take in your life. It's not about the job you wanted to pursue. It's not about blah, blah, blah. It's about me. You were created to worship me. And as that just resounds in my spirit again tonight, God, I pray that you would help me to be able to express that, God, in a way that challenges the other Christians that hear this as well. It's not about us. It's about what you want us to do for you. It's about the way that we live our lives in a life of worship, in a mindset that says, hey, I'm here to be like Christ. As a Christian, I want to live my life like Him. God, I pray that you would help us to do that. I thank you for the opportunities that we have that are challenging. I thank you for the opportunities that you present us with, God, that show us we're not quite there yet, but we can get closer if we do these things. Help us to be servants, God. Help us to be the one who's helpful to our neighbors around us, to be the one who's helpful, God, to strangers, to be the one who's helpful, God, to just anyone and everyone, God. When we see a need, we meet it. And we do our best to be a part of the solution rather than the problem in those. God, I pray that you would help us to remember to sacrifice some of our ideas, some of our desires, some of our wants, God, to get those out of the way so that we can pursue what you would have us do. And understand, God, that we find greater joy in serving you than we do seeking our own ways and seeking our own paths. God, it's so much more peaceful to be doing what you would have us do than to seek out some crazy tangent of a life. I pray that you would help us to understand that. Because sometimes, God, our flesh is screaming, hey, do this, hey, do that. You're way too tired to be going to church. You're way too tired to be calling and talking to that person and asking how they are. You don't even like them anyway, whatever it is. God, help us to get past that and understand that when we do the right thing and we do those things, God, that you call us to do, and we sacrifice the flesh that's in between us, that we can see a bigger impact in the lives around us and in our own life, and find that peace in knowing that we've been obedient to you. God, I pray that you would help us to sow seeds of unity, God, rather than those of discord. I pray that you would help us to, God, have a mindset to unify the church, to find what is in common with our brothers and sisters around us, not what divides us, God, but what brings us together. God, to be of one thought, God, in one purpose, and to pursue that purpose, God, to see the kingdom of God grow. and to see souls saved and lives changed. God, that would be our ultimate goal. And we would see that and begin to unify ourselves and unify our efforts in a way that allows us to push forward and to see the kingdom go forward, God. And to not stand still and get stagnant or to just sit here and not do anything, God, and get stale. Help us, God, to move together towards you and to move together with one purpose, that is to impact the world around us in a positive way through what you have called us to do. God, it's in your name I pray tonight. Amen. All right, so next week we got a business meeting. Week after that we'll be hanging out again here. I'm not sure what we'll be doing exactly yet, but I'm sure it'll probably be on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, and Roxanne will be stoked to hear the sermon title on one of those 2 days. I hope you guys are well. Hope you're going to be here next week. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Thanks.